62 with Paul and Baron.
Hello, listeners. So, today's episode is called Strong and Stable. Strong and stable.
The strongest of stables.
Indeed it is, strong and stable. Right, so we are recording on Friday the morning of the 9th. So
this is morning.
Yes, so this is, the election result is literally coming in right now.
Is it? Apart from one.
Yeah, apart from one, which doesn't change the result, does it? So why are they bothering? Like,
well, they're still going to know.
Why don't they just toss a coin then and then just say...
It's good, it's Kensington's the last one.
Anyway, so the general election has happened and the results are in and Comrade May has sadly been dashed, like, upon the rocks of defeat. Well, but not... She's won the election but has got a hung parliament. So if you,
so she started with a 17 majority.
Yeah, you better off explain the situation.
Oh, yeah. She had a majority of 17.
Yeah.
Which means that she had 17 more seats than the rest of the parties put together. Yeah. And she called an election to get more because she needed a hand strengthened.
Yeah.
And strong and stable leadership, etc., etc. And now she's got minus 8.
So she's won. But lost. She didn't achieve what she wanted to do.
So she lost, like, 25 seats. Yeah, and now she can't have a government on her own.
She made her position weaker.
So now she has to have a government with the help of some ex-paramilitary Irish nutjobs.
But yeah, that's the DUP, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know politics that well. Who are the DUP?
They're the other side.
The other side?
To Sinn Féin.
Oh, okay. So, like, the more legitimate...
No. They were like the unionists.
Unionists.
Side.
Okay.
So they were. Yeah. So they would never support a Labour government with Jeremy Corbyn because he was not involved with the IRA, but he was like trying to facilitate.
So they'll be. So they'll be friends of circumstances, like because they're the enemies of Labour. Like naturally, they're gonna.
Well, they're not enemies of them, but they're enemies of the Irish Republican movement.
Yeah. So. Okay.
They got quite a checkered past.
Yeah. So what's going to happen is May will do her deal with the devil.
And well, not formally.
Not formally. Like, no. Just
informal.
Informally. It's called backhand. Hush, hush.
What is it called? Confidence and supply or something. So basically, it's an informal deal, not a coalition.
And that would make her have the majority,
in the short term.
In the short term.
For about 6 months. Until she goes.
Oh, you reckon she's going
to... Yeah, because what will happen is she won't be allowed to stand for another election.
Because she lost one. She made it worse.
She's like a wounded animal.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Tories don't have wounded leaders. They just kill
them. They're quite ruthless, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And they don't even have elections. They just have coronations. So she'll be taken outside and shot like Old Yeller. And then they'll bring in the next one.
Right.
Whoever it is. Maybe it'll be
Boris.
Bojo.
Bojo the cow.
with his whiff-waff. Muggle whoops.
Oh my god.
That would be one meeting. Bojo meets, what's his face? Trump. That would be lunacy.
Tremendous.
Tremendous. Muggle whoops.
So,
I'm knackered actually.
Yeah, so the reason what this results in the podcast is Barry, being really into politics, has been up all most of the night.
Drinking.
Yeah, drinking. And I have had some sleep, that's fine. But, like, obviously.
It makes a change. Normally, you're never
Falling around.
Asleep.
Exactly.
And this time, I'm knackered and falling asleep. But the show must go on, hopefully, without edits.
Yep.
So I can just, like,
put it up.
Spank this out. And it's like 10 to 11. Hopefully, it'll be out by midday.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Right, good. So, we're going to... it's a general melee of an episode.
Yes, I mean, there is Walmart to talk about, and that will be the main topic.
Politics won't be the main topic.
No,
that'll probably be
it. Yeah, but I played Jim Beach, and the episode we want to do, which this is the compromise, we want to do another YouTube like game where we review another army.
Yeah, and I'm playing Empire.
Yes, and I would... probably use Chaos or Orcs are in the wings, painted, ready to go. So it'll be probably one of those two. And then we'll be chatting about that army that the Empire play against.
Can the Orcs win?
I don't know.
Can you win with the Orc Challenge? Is it possible?
It still exists, doesn't it? Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah.
Well, that'd be good. Right, okay. So that's what we're going to crack on. So what have you been doing? It's been 2 weeks in Poland because I had a week off on holiday for my wife's 40th, which was... an occasion?
I've had, well, okay, so hobby-wise, I've had quite a refreshing thing, is that, and this is the point of having a collection of painted armies, is, so the next event are we playing in is the July the 1st, which is our own one, Bunker War Master 4.
Yeah.
So, and I was like, what army am I going to use for that? And I was like, well, I could obviously do the Empire. I quite like Skaven. Yeah, obviously, I've got my Skaven ready to go. And I looked at my Skaven army. I was like, what would I want to do different from them last time? And I was like, okay, if I drop the Warp-Blinding Cannons and the Giselles and put a more fighty Skaven army in, mm-hmm. which I've gotten the models for now. And I was like, okay, so wrote up a list. And actually, I've got it painted straight away. Like, I needed to do another unit, two units of Storm Vermin, and another unit of Plague Monks. And of course, ooh. Skaven being very easy to paint, very quick to do. I've done them all already.
Dry brush, pink nose, off you go.
Basically, yeah. And I used that already in a list, and I'm quite happy with that list. Now, come on to our main topic. So, I painted some Skaven. Is the answer like what I've been up to?
What exactly were the changes? You got rid of your Giselles and...
Well, yeah, I'll talk about that.
Oh, that's for later.
I'll go through my army list.
Yeah, okay.
So I painted the Skaven for this list. Also, I've been, like, fancy doing some of the 30k stuff I have, and I've, like, colour-coded out here. I brought them along, both the Ultramarines and Word Bearers little forces that I have.
The word is the bird.
The word is the bird.
Is that the word they bear?
The thing is, give me enough time and I will paint stuff just for the enjoyment of painting them. And
that's how we differ.
Yeah. Contrast makes a good contrast, doesn't it? Yeah, so what Barry has here with three in his hands is two regular Space Marines and a Terminator one. And they're all using a hardlining technique, which comes from some colour guides I've been following, where the Space Marines, which are mostly flat power armour, how do you paint that? Well, you actually paint it in a bit of a false method in this one, where you're hard highlighting the edges.
Extreme highlighting.
Yeah, extreme highlighting.
Yeah.
Highlighting all the edges of it. And it results in this look here. And it would be false on a big thing, but it works on small models, I think. I found
it difficult highlighting the curved areas with extreme highlighting.
Exactly. And because
there's only the big shoulder pods.
Yeah, I mean, that shoulder pad there is going to have a transfer, so that will fill the space. You know, I've got to relearn how to do transfers again, obviously, because I don't want them to come off shiny. Like, I've got some material... it's not just water you use, like some other... I've got to learn, basically. I've got to practice.
I think what I used to do back when I was... into this kind of stuff is I'd use like matte varnish over the top.
Yeah, I want to try a few non-example, like just test things.
Yeah,
like
decent work on the gun, though. I like that. The eyes are good.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
The bases are nice.
It follows.
Did the base come with these bases?
No. So they are, but they are printed like bases. Printed like that, yeah. So like they're designed bases that GW's done, and I painted them separately. The bases.
GW station bases. Now.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fair play to them.
And so I did the bases separately, then I did the model and put the painted model, finished on top. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like what's going on with the red though. So I mean, I understand the blue.
Yeah.
Well, as always.
I can paint other colours.
Yeah, well, what went wrong? Why has he gone red?
Because, as I said, like when we were talking about this before, it's like the 30k game is very much fluff and like, you know, you play the because you enjoy that world and you're not going to have green on green. You're not going to have.
So he's evil?
Yeah, they're evil. They're traitors and they're loyalists.
Oh, right. That's why the bird is the word.
Word bearers are the original traitors. They're the original white guys that go to chaos and corrupt the others.
God damn.
Yeah.
And this big boy here
he's a Cataphractory Terminator, and it's all plastic. And
they're hard plastic. They've changed the plastic, I think.
He'll need some transfers going on both his shoulder pads and that little like emblem. He'll have a little transfer as well. But that is the model done, painted.
Yeah, well, he's got his like combi bolter.
Yeah.
And a little bit of power fist.
And this kind of leads on to the next topic I want to talk about, the new edition of 40k coming out, is that this there's 1,000 players for like there are tons of players for this kind of game system. And on Facebook I just thought, I wondered if there's a 30k there's a 30k group, but there's even a 30k Essex group.
Right.
And there's
a 30k Essex Wordbearer group.
Yeah, yeah, no, literally it goes down not Essex and Wordbearer, but there is a 30k Wordbearers group. And it's like people who play this game system with just that army. And I was there you go. It's like it's quite it's what popularity can do for you. I mean, because there's and actually I'm playing later, Mark Pocock's coming over later and we're playing some Marvel, and we're actually going to play a game of 30k as well.
Well, full size?
Well,
but like 50,
he won't
hit 50 or
it's going to be 2000, right. But I'm doing a total Terminator list, because you can do Rights of War, which are themes, and I'm taking the Right of War, which is First Company Elite. Right. And it basically means my Terminators can be troops, so I'll have just all Terminators.
Awesome. It's like the Deathwing used to be.
Yeah, like the Deathwing used to be. But the problem is, it'll get on. It's very much rock, paper, scissors, and it'll be great against some things. Yeah, but if it brings
against plasma weapons.
Yeah, if it brings too much of the wrong thing, then I'm dead. But, you know, I'm putting together some vehicles, and I haven't put those vehicles together yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, I must admit, I've seen the box set for the, what's it called now? I don't know the name of the new 40k 8th edition or whatever the frig it's called. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of stuff in that box.
Yeah, you do. Oh, so what is happening now is next Saturday is the new edition of 40k comes out.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's a 2-week pre. No, it's the Saturday after, actually.
Okay.
That was it, yeah.
End of June.
They have their new 8th edition, and you get, it's, I think, genuinely, it is GW's best starting set they've ever done. Because, I'll tell you why, because you get a hardback rulebook in
that's
it.
That's crackers.
Which is...
That's like, which they challenged up to 50 knights for those.
Which
in
is
the
exactly the same as the one on, it is the same thing, off the shelf, okay. In the box.
So that's going to be 30 knights, minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Yep. And they give you 52 models in it. And those models, which are in our current GW store, I've seen in the flesh, are fantastic.
Oh, I might have to go and have a look. What are the Nurgloids like?
They look, but to be honest, like it's two aesthetics. So there's the Death Guard and the Primus Marines, like the Marines who drank lots of milk as kid and got really big. Yeah, you know, like and the Death Guard.
If I bought Primus Marines, what am I going to do with the 20,000 Marines I've got upstairs? Just melt them down now.
Melt them down.
Your gene seed, mate.
Yeah, just burn them. Yeah, you know, like.
And the Nurgle Marines are normal Nurgle Marine size.
Yeah, but they're similar sized because
fatter,
Nurgle like loves his children. Anyway, what I'm saying is the Primaris Marines look good because GW knows how to cast a Space Marine, and they do, and they're the pinnacle of their art. The Death Guard though are at another level because they're so detailed. Each one of them is super, just has so much going on with them, right. Because they're chaos, and that allows you to like chaos. They're not basically like here's your issued set of armor and your issued gun. Yeah. The Death Guard are just all over the place, you know, like in looks, and they're fantastic. But the thing that's most impressive to me is this kind of demon possessed flyer, like they kind of like hover thing they have. Hey. I don't know how to describe it. It's like a drone, a blight drone. In the box set. Yeah. And it looks amazing. And it's like, that's in the starting set. It's like, well... Yeah, because they have done big things in starting sets before, like...
I've seen all kinds of stuff in that. Yeah.
They have, but like they used to be
Land
cars.
And
they have
other
starter stuff. It's normally a dreadnought. And this is the equivalent of that, like, in this edition, the big model. And it does look... it's like, gee, that's in a starting set. That's amazing.
And I've heard they're actually engaging with the community and coming out into the world and supporting stuff.
So what they've done is that they then also releasing these indexes, which have like which catalogue together a lot of armies that are same good and evil or alien, and that contains all the rules for your whatever anything they've done so far. Yeah, and those,
so if you were playing Nurgle, you'd just get Codex Destruction or
something. So you would need to get the Chaos one. There is only one.
Right.
And that would have everything in it. I mean, as well, the Death Guard in there also have their own book in that starting set. Their own unique little book.
Oh, that's nice.
And has points for everything that they've ever done. And they're reasonably priced. Like, those books are 15 quid.
That's all.
You know, it's like... And they are just big books.
15
you know?
Quid, I think... I think the last time I bought a private press one, they were to £27.50 or something.
Of course, you would pick things up from independent stockists and stuff and find a discount. I mean, there's...
So for 15, you know, that's 25% off 15, was that
12?
£11.75 or something?
Yeah, so it's not much, is it? Yeah, and they are not... And see, I've picked up I've had a look at the hardback rule book. It's really nice. It's really like
I'm going in there today
to
look.
You got to be honest. And like, well, it's all there. Ron has it all. You know, is that you're looking through the book?
I just feel sad for Ron though, because I go in and I look, and I've never ever spent a penny with him. It's like I'm giving you 25% just for standing here in front of me, mate.
Yeah.
I can just go out of the shop and order it for 40k or.
Yeah, I know. I think he realizes that. You know, like he doesn't. He never tries to upsell anything to us vets. Because he knows that it's wasted. It's like, well, and hello, Element Games and my phone. Like, and for me tomorrow.
Free delivery. Yeah, lovely.
So anyway, I say like this edition of 40K. Like I think this is GW coming to take the crown. I think they're coming because I.
Yeah, but now you're going to be talking about if they're doing this well with this. When how have they fucked fantasy up so much? Why can they not make fantasy better?
Well. Now they have a system. Now they have a version where they have the AOS, and this is very. They have AOS basically 40k. So and there's a lot.
Well,
of
they haven't had because they've kept it distinct. They've kept it. So it's not just like boiled down to, is it?
Oh, okay. So the thing about AOS was that they took this.
It's not 4 pages. Please tell me it's not 4 pages.
8 pages of core rules and another 4. So 12 pages of rules.
Basically. That's what for 40k. Okay,
yeah.
Oh my god, that's small.
Yeah. So what they did was they took this game Fantasy, which had a hell of a long history, and they completely changed it to something unrecognisable, which is AOS. Now they've done a similar game system to 40k, but it's still recognisable as 40k. You know, like as in okay. The main difference is they've taken away the leadership, the morale test, and they've replaced it with the Battle Shock rules, which are.
Marines never worried about morale.
Well, that's to say, but it's a lot similar. I've watched a few.
Oh, Battle Shock is that if you lose, you just take one damage.
So, say your squad of 10
loses
2 guys, and then you take a lead, then you roll a dice and add two, and if it beats your leadership, whatever it beats it by, you lose more guys.
So yeah, so if you roll a 10, your leadership's 8, you've got 12.
So if you've got high leadership and you take a few casualties, you can't fail the test. But if you've got low leadership and you take a lot of casualties, you can't really pass it. You're going to lose more models.
Yeah, you lose shift.
But they think the main difference they've had in is that you still. So they still have formations in 40k. You still build to. In match play, you still build to a force organisation, which is fantastic. Because that's what they had to have. And they have a lot of force organisation charts.
Did they even bother trying to bring that back in of Age of Sigmar?
No.
That was the best bit about fantasy. You had your core, you had your special, you had your elite, you had rare, whatever it was.
I don't understand, but they have not. It's certainly not to the level that is 40k. Like has like. There's lots of force org charts, and they are really quite open. You can really put in what you want, but you're still forced into having a mixture of stuff.
Right.
You know, and which is good. But different force charts give you these different. If they're like considered like say weaker, like the troops one, you get more of these command points. And command points are things you can spend in the game. Like, one command point, spend a command point to reroll a dice.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, spend 2 command points to automatically pass a battle shock test. So one you can't pass, because you've lost too many casualties. Spend 2, you've passed it.
Clever.
And so you have a pool of these command points, which dwindles. You begin with so much, and you dwindles down the game. You can only do something once. You're going to do that thing. You only reroll a dice once. But yeah, it's good. Like all the missions are there. Like the thing about 40K 7 was it was so bloated with different
books everywhere.
Oh yeah, it was. But all of that, everything is condensed into this one rule book. So your Cities of Death expansion is a mission in one of the missions you can choose to play. Is Cities of Death, and there it is. One of them it even has the air fighting one.
Okay.
Has that condensed into there? And
I just hope if I do get into it that it's not just kind of like big flyer and super heavy spam.
So there are detachments for that, but and I can't say that if you play that kind of opponent, it's not like they can't put those armies on the table. Yes, they can.
Right.
Are you playing tournaments?
No, never.
So you're probably picking the opponents you are playing.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, every game's an objective, and those lists aren't going to be viable to do objectives.
Okay, that's good.
And also, is they there is no class really now of super heavy. Like, it's just a bigger vehicle. You can anything, like, you can attack it with anything. Okay, it's not, things aren't likely to kill it.
Well, but Lascons ain't killing Baneblades.
Theoretically, they can.
Well, if you had like 400 million rounds.
Yes, yeah, but what I'm saying is that, like, in 7th, you could have things that were invulnerable, and then they, to the point where they were hit by that thing that they weren't invulnerable to, and then they died immediately. That's all gone. It's now toughness categories and amount of wounds. And that will result in some really fun, I think, almost thematic games. So, like, the orcs have like this mini Gargant model, the Stomper, like, you know, Gorgonok. Oh, yeah. Apparently, that is hilarious. It's brilliant rules. It's got a ridiculous amount of wounds.
As you can imagine, but no armor. Yeah,
but you just start blowing chunks off it, and like, and it's also a ridiculous amount of points. Vehicles have all gotten more expensive points wise. Infantry got cheaper. Vehicles got more expensive.
Good.
And so you'll see less of them. You know, and Marines have gone from are proper an elite tiny army again. Like, you don't have, I mean, that in that box start set, I don't know the points of the top of it, but I imagine like both of those are probably well over 1,000 points each, those sides. And when you think 2,000 is a game, that's not, you don't actually have many, like, if an elite army doesn't have many things in it.
Yeah.
And I say, like, and as vehicles get destroyed, they get worse. And yeah, so the orc, this orc, the one that stands out from people who quickly looked at is this orc stomper thing, which looks hilarious.
I can imagine. True orcsies. Well, I've got some orcsies. I've got lots of stuff. Brilliant. Well,
I mean, so what
I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah. What I'll have is my cult, which I'd used for a few times in 7th. That's obviously going to be in 8th. The GC the cult.
Oh yeah.
And I put on pre-order because we have a friend who gets it very cheap. And I put on pre-order the box set, and I'll also have the Primus Marines. What I'll try to do is Ultramarines, obviously. Yeah, like
obviously.
Yeah.
Well, they're not branded, are they? These Primus.
No, they're completely. Yeah, but it learns. Like they have no iconic orography, which
that's
isn't generic.
They normally do.
No, but they haven't.
Not in the box sets. They normally
have Ultramarines. Yeah, and in the last one where they had Dark Angels, that was their failing. Is that some of it was too unique? Like was too
Dark Angels
marked up.
Yeah.
Don't have that anymore. No, it's all blank.
Good.
Do what you want with it. I mean, create your own if you want.
Well done. Well, they're doing well. We can't argue.
Yeah, no, I honestly think that this edition of 40K is exactly what the punch in the arm the game system needed. This is mainstream. The definition of a war game mainstream, modern war game, is 40K.
Yeah.
This is the mainstream. It's like the John Cena of the coming in.
Is.
You know, like coming in and there'll be tons of players of it, and I think it'll be fun.
And every teenage boy who gets into the game will get in through this.
Yes. Yeah.
My kids will play it or whatever.
And because it's not complicated, I just taught you probably the most complicated bit about it. Just me explaining to you the battle shock.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so it is not difficult like to play.
Because it's not, I like complicated games, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I play Magic, that's as complicated as you like, but there's definitely a call for a beer and popcorn game.
Oh, and this is what 40K will be.
Yeah, good. Okay. Right.
Right, we need to say thank you to KR.
We do, because we've been a bit lax.
Which is wrong.
It's very wrong.
So,
considering how we need to put a bit more for KR, we need to do a bit more. Maybe a little bit on our Facebook page if we can get a logo.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Because they've started putting it on their prizes now, which is nice.
Yeah.
It says KR, blah, 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 Warmaster Podcast, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So what they've sent us 3 cases for the next tournament as prize support. And
big for Alex
case,
to sell.
Big case, medium case, big case, medium case, little case. The medium case fits a whole army. So, yeah, there you go. And there we have it. First, second, third. So the prize support for that tournament will be first, second, third, the cases, the equivalent sizes. And also, you'll have, well, maybe I'll put that as a choice as well, you never know. But then also, you'll have the collection of prize support I've gathered from Magister Millistrum, which I've collected into races.
Yeah.
And again, you get to choose, like, first one will get to choose which one they want.
Okay.
Yeah, which is lovely, because I think that's fairer, because they might, like, the winner, you know, Janus might not want the Orc and Goblin one because it's the biggest prize, but he might already have an Orc and Goblin. I don't know. But like, anyway.
I didn't hear somebody's grudged him. Or is that
Jim has grudged him.
Has Jim. Well done, Jim, sir. You are the man. You are the man.
Yeah.
So you have and to make big balls.
He's going to bring him to the event and he's probably going to get him drunk the night before. Yeah.
Like, make him play the Hobbit.
Yeah. So like
you're using hobbits, yeah, you bastard. Like,
yeah. Jim. So anyway, very thank you, KR. That was fantastic. You responded back to me fairly promptly. You've delivered well before time. I haven't had to chase you really at all. You've done so beautiful. Thanks very much. Back in the room. Right. Okay, so now we're going to chat a bit about Flames of War.
Flames of War, because there was a... this is the second time they've done this, so they've moved edition, and
Fourth
edition. They gave you a free set of rule books if you owned a previous set. Mm. Now, the previous set that I owned were a free set that I owned for buying second edition. Yes. So I bought second edition, got third edition free. Yep. Didn't really play much third edition, I've got to be honest. I think I played a little bit with you and a bit there.
Yeah.
And then this is fourth edition, and again, they've given it to you free.
Yeah.
So you can't really argue. They're trying to keep you engaged in the game. I've already got...
Flames of War is a World War II miniatures game by Battlefront.
15 mil. Nice scale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've already got three armies for it, as you'd expect. Because unlike Paul, who sells everything off if he doesn't use it for a weekend... I bought it like Smaug the Dragon.
Again, that's how we're different. So Barry actually owns one of my old armies.
I do, a very nice British.
Check out that for an artillery arm. Yeah,
like, the always got me about this was like, I want to play a game against those train tanks.
Yeah.
They just look madness.
So Flames of War is a lovely game system. And I don't know the difference here in the version 4. It's like all historical game systems. Like it's like quite similar, but it can be completely similar. Something I really like, the things that stuck out to me about Flames of War when we were playing it, was the fact that some tanks were just invulnerable to a lot on the table because they were tanks. You know, like, and so your German Tiger, which was well pointed, was just invulnerable to a lot of what the Allies could throw at it.
Early war, but that Tiger
cost a lot of points and was just one vehicle, and it would often have to take on like five Shermans, and if one of the Shermans got round the back, they could kill it. Or
somebody got on top.
Yeah, or the Tiger, or the planes dropped bombs on it. It was proper combined arms game, and it basically took your army was based around a company or battalion if you were Russian, you know, like a size force company plus ats and dets. So you could have but essentially armies boiled down to either a tank company with some infantry or an infantry company with some tanks.
Yeah, yeah.
So, its downfall. I say it's not a downfall, but its negative is that being historical armies. Things are very one colour, like there isn't like a lot. You don't create your own colour codes. Things look the same, it can represent exactly like for like how things were, because like artillery would never be on the table, that kind of thing.
No,
now they did. Know. Now the Battlefront did for ages only did historical World War II. Then they did Vietnam, which was interesting, but ultimately, because they had rules for helicopters.
But sadly,
that game system, that version, suffered from the fact that one side had to be the Viet Cong.
And nobody
wanted to be the Viet Cong, because even though they represented them correctly in that the endless cycling of more Viet Cong, one guy's the cool army with helicopters and cool troops, and the other one is these poor farmers who are just getting butchered
with pitchforks and AK-47s. The other guy's got like
And that game system only had obviously two sides. Now they have done Team Yankee, which is the first time they've gone away from historical. So they've done a hypothetical Cold War game that goes hot. And that is Russians against Americans primarily, and some British and stuff. But my criticism of Battlefront for Flames of War, I would say for their game systems, is they don't concentrate on them too. They flitter too much.
Okay.
They don't.
I understand the process because they were trying to. They milked this game as much as they could. They were trying to make other IP get more streams of money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, and the Cold War one looked good, looked really quite good, but it didn't. I don't know. It just this kind of game takes a lot of investment because you know, you want the scenery to look good, and the scenery can look fantastic.
I bought some of your scenery as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it doesn't. You can play a more generic table, but you want it to look.
I think the problem they had was they can't protect the IP.
Yeah, exactly.
So I never really bought Battlefront stuff because it was too expensive. Yeah, exactly. I always bought other stuff.
Yeah.
Like there was a plastic soldier company.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my god, that was cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was
crazy. Now the thing is that because the way a historical thing looks is the way it looks.
Yeah, you can't change
it. So
it can't even change the scale. Yeah, it is what it is.
And there were other manufacturers who did dirt cheap models which looked exactly the same, really. You couldn't tell a difference, especially if your whole army was done by them. And Battlefront, sadly, didn't fight that corner very well. Now, by the looks of like what's in this pictures in this book, is that they have done more of their own plastic models, which look great.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. Yeah, agreed.
And that's what they had to do. They had to
bring the cost down.
Yeah, they had to bring the cost down, and they had to fight on the same level. So they had to break, basically. You're sat in the old version of the game. Your Russian battalion, because Russians were like three time armies, were three times the size. Yeah, yeah. They're all conscripts. Would be ridiculous money with Battlefront's costing for every Russian platoon,
that was all
metal.
Yeah.
But you could do it in other armies, like plastic soldiers and stuff. You could do it, and I did run a Russian infantry force, which was as it should be, and even then I didn't do it as much as I could have done, and it was just huge numbers of models. I've never known a game system where you have one army can be so different.
Big. Like the German elite army versus there was like outnumbered 10-1
or
something.
Yeah, and yeah, it would be a fair fight.
Yeah,
yeah, like.
The only thing I didn't really enjoy was they made these artificial distinctions with special rules for each country.
Yeah.
And some of them were just really kind of like, you're just... And they might still have it in here, where there's like, British artillery had some weird rules around them, and then Russians had different rules, and it just felt... That felt artificial, because, but we will see how this game... I'm going to play again next week against Eric.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to use.
Yeah.
He's one of my three... I have the Russian conscript army...
Yeah.
Early war, that's pretty beefy.
So in the game system in World War II, there's three periods of history, early, mid and late. You can't fight an early war army against a late war army.
Because the points are different. There is no mid-war, I don't believe.
Yeah,
It's just early, so 39 to 41, and late 44 to 45.
And personally, I think mid-war is probably the better and the more...
Balanced.
The more balanced, I think, like version, because then you have elements of the good stuff from both armies, like... Heavy tanks are really expensive, but exist.
Yeah.
You know, like you really appreciate when you're playing this kind of game system. You do appreciate how kit changes quite quickly over 6 years. Like kit and equipment. Now, obviously, it focuses on the sexy armies from both sides, which were like, oh, let's have the very few armies in World War II were properly mechanized, mechanized, but. You know, it's what the game system is. And, I could borrow back my British and have a crack at it. Why not?
Yeah. It was a nice rule where if you went at the double with tanks and you were shot by anti-tank guns, that was incredibly painful. You only ever did that once. I remember I did it once. I go, I've got to get there quick, So you go at the double and I think they get to shoot twice or something. Like... Anti-tank guns were really good against tanks.
I mean, the funniest army I ran was an Italian tank company.
If you could call it a tank.
From early war. And their models of tanks were awful. Like, little more than armoured cars, really. And
like pizza vans.
And they were,
ice cream vans.
It was so funny, because I was just like, my terrible tanks were just like driving around getting popped. There's lots of them, but they were just like these little like tankettes. And the best thing in the army was the borrowed German 88s, which they used to put in trucks. So like it took a while to like.
So
another thing, as well as you have periods of history, you also have theatres as well. Like it's in terms of like, so this is an Italian army in the desert. They split it down. East and West as are like theatres, and that's things like, so these 88s were mounted on the back of trucks, you know, like the drive around the desert
with no armor.
No. they couldn't be shot back, but they were like in early war they had a serious amount of hitting power, which wasn't anywhere else in the game. And it's certainly better than my little my little tankettes were so bad they could actually be done by machine gun fire in the back. That's how bad they were. Yeah. It's like, oh my god.
Anyway, so well, that's funny because now we're potentially playing two new games soon. Mm. The new 40k and the new Fledge of War.
Give things a shot.
Yeah. It's good to keep it mixed up. Obviously, War Master is still my main focus.
Variety is the spice of life, and I would like to try some Ancients actually as well, War Master Ancients. Mm. Just because I want to see how core army rules are. Like, I want to play a Roman against or use a Roman legion that is using the legion rule. Because I just want to see what it's like. Because the Janners did put scope down for a War Master Ancients event, but I don't think there's enough players of it. But
the problem is how many. Have you seen the minimum army restrictions? Like, if you want to do British, I don't know if it's 16 or 24 units.
Oh my god!
Of war band. Yeah. Yeah. Like, hey? Yeah. 24 units. That's like, what's that? My god. That's I can't even do it. My brain's on. That's 72 stands.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, like.
That's even worse than Skaven. And that's just your core. And they're worth nothing.
Yeah.
They're worth like buttons.
They're worth nothing.
So maybe if you just put like a couple of models on a base.
That'll do. But I mean, I would like to play some Ancients.
I agree.
Because just to see, I say, that's why I want to play it, is the army core rules. Because, you know, just to see.
I've got the Ancients rule book now, and I've got the Medieval.
Because we can talk about committee, actually, we'll do that after the main topic. But yeah, that would allow us to go into how we can change the army list in the future.
Well, I think we've done Flames of War. Yeah, we're not Flames of War podcast.
No,
but I'll tell you how it goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you this is the other thing about how rule books are worth nothing. Now, you can't be charging big money for rule books anymore because people just won't pay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Privateer Press, give the rule book away.
Yeah.
GW, give the rule book away.
Oh yeah, their core rules are given away free.
Give them away. Mm-hmm. Just no money in them anymore. Yep. Right, so what else we got on
there? So the War Master, I played Jim. Yeah, a War Master.
Did you know?
Yeah.
So between us, we've played one game in 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, but you've been away in half term.
You played another game.
Against Rodders.
While I was away, didn't you?
I played Alex. I taught Alex some War Master. Yeah.
McGee?
Yeah, McGee.
Yeah. Back again?
He came over in half term and that was the game we played, War Master. So like I played High Elves versus Dark Elves for that one.
Because I heard you saying how dirty it was to play Dark High Elves.
Oh yeah. I played some Shadow Worm again as well, and that's ridiculous. Yeah,
I'm getting into that,
mate. No, totally.
Downs with his five sniper headshot.
Yeah, totally ridiculous.
Chemical bullets as they bollocks. Bollocks. This looks rubbish. This is nothing like the game.
Oh, no, it wasn't rubbish. Hilarious. Yeah, like, hilariously unbalanced.
We've got five guys with sniper rifles on Overwatch just waiting to stick their head up. Bang!
Bang! Gotcha! So, okay, so before I played Jim, I taught Alex McGee, a guy who's been around a bit, some War Master, and we played my Halves against my Dark Elves, pretty similar lists, and it resulted in a complete bloodbath, which was quite interesting. But I felt so dirty playing High Elves. Just like...
Same with Dark Elves.
Yeah.
Anything with leadership tests.
I was using Dark Elves. It's just like Command 10.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Just like, it's so dirty.
It's dirty with, you can argue with dwarves, because they're a bit slower, and they don't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they want a castle, the leadership tends not as good.
No, it's good.
But with elves, it's just ridiculous, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You're here, you're there, you're everywhere. The general does it all on his own. Everybody else, don't worry, I've got this.
I know.
You're a poor orc bastard on his leadership 8. Can't order a bloody goblin.
Can't order shit.
Everybody's heroes are as good as my bloody general.
It's true. Yeah, why? Well, he didn't go to school, did he? He didn't go to command school. He didn't learn how to be a general. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I played Jim.
Jim the Sage.
And he used Beastmen because we, like, as a bit
did
of a
did he bring
lift.
Some bloody, what they called?
What?
Bestigor, whatever they are.
Yeah, he took a Bestigor brigade. Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
With a spawn as well. Yeah, like try that out.
Okay.
And he used everything that I wanted him to. He didn't bring a Shagoff or anything like a.
Oh, correct. They're like 250 points or something, aren't they?
But he brought along Beastman Brigade, like good list basically. I thought it was like a unit of Minotaurs to try them out. And he got the ambushing right, as in he didn't have too much ambushing, but enough to be enough to matter. Mm. You know,
you try the new ambushing rules.
Yep. And I played Skaven, and with my reworked list, and my list is now 11 clan rat units. It's going to be 5 rat swarm units, then 4 storm vermin, 2 plague monks, 2 rat ogres, 2 gutter runners, 2 doom wheels.
Really? And who'd have thought the doom wheels?
My collection of characters, which is on a screen with a screen bell. I've got a grey seer, 2 heroes, and 2 wizards.
Those doom wheels are bastards. I swear to God.
But it's cool. But I mean, like playing Skaven. They play so differently than every other army. Like, I outnumbered him, and he's a big army. My breakpoint's going to be 15.
Right.
And his was 13. And I say, it was just... my army list was just... I mean, for that game, I didn't have one breakpoint, so I had a magic item I'm going to put in another unit of rat swarms. It was just, like, there's scenery... And Jim's actually said he thought there should be more scenery on the table. And I was like, I don't know. But I just didn't need to, as in, like, I'm too big to use it.
Yeah, you can't. You just blob through
it. Okay, going back into the army list. So I set up my army to go, and I say, but this game reaffirmed.
So if you didn't guess, though, we had a malfunction. So that may not join in that well.
So my army, playing Skaven there, like, reaffirmed my love of Skaven. I was like, I love playing this army.
Yeah, well, like, Mr. Skaven, sir.
So without now that I've taken away the shooting element of it, I'm like,
which was pitiful.
Yeah, which again, just because of my love to use something of everything. But I've done that now. I played that at an event. I don't have to now.
Right.
For my own conscience, I can I've tried that.
Okay.
So I am pushing
just
everything.
Of a different clan.
Yeah. I'm basically big centre brigade controlled by the Grey Seer, who's no better really at commanding anyway. Trying to keep within 30 2 heroes on left and right who control their brigades. Again, these brigades are not 4; they are big brigades. And I tried the Warlock Engineers will try and control the Doom Wheels because they are separate little pieces.
But not within 30 or...
Yeah, they're within 30 as well.
But
the army
the back.
Kind of just hanging off the back, basically. Not frontline stuff. They're like looking for where it's best to go in. And that's roughly, and the army tries to advance. And of course that centre brigade, it's hard to get it going where you want it to go because it's
hard to get the charge off, mate.
Yeah.
My 10 units of silver helms are going to love running into the middle of that.
Yeah. Actually, I found an important rule I didn't realise is that the supporting charge by initiative, you have to be directly behind. Yeah, because I like to set up, I've been setting up my brigade, my Skaven as in columns. Column. So if you're to be a supporting charge, your infantry needs to be behind. Jim pulled me up on it, and I was like, that is true. That is actually, oh my God, I didn't realise that. Yeah. So I was like, never mind.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so you have to be in lines, to do the support. You have to be directly behind the unit that's gone in.
Okay.
Which kind of, looks good.
I saw Imil. Was it Imil? No, it wasn't Imil. It was something. Maybe it was. I can't remember. And they were setting off staggered, weren't they?
Yeah. And against, and he has his Beastman army, which is quite a lot on the table with some ambush brigades. I put my 2 units, Gutter Runners, and my scouts, the only thing that can scout in the Skaven army, and they're off to ready to infiltrate in.
Be a fight to infiltrate first.
Well, exactly.
Both in the same word.
Yeah. So what happened was I kind of blobbed towards, as best I could, towards Jim. I used my Gutter Runners to disrupt him a bit by coming on the side. That I then use to attack his stuff because you have to be aggressive with Skaven. You're not standing back. Yeah, you're just throwing stuff.
They're not defensive.
Yeah, they're not defensive. I mean, you're just throwing stuff in, and there was a hell of a lot of combat going on all over the place. I took some photos because the table got so mixed up. I'll pull up these photos now.
Well, that's why in your original build. Mm-hmm. For an aggressive fighting army, you have too much chaff.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, I can't fight with this shit. It just keeps getting ruined.
Exactly, but that's experience of playing Sin army list. Now,
like trying to fight with a million halberdiers.
This build I've got here, as much as I derided Storm Vermin, they're actually good, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, they're like Elspinmer for fighting.
Yeah.
Things that make you go,
Yeah. It's like, okay. So
that seemed like a bargain to me.
Yeah, I'd taken the four I'm allowed. And with an extra unit played amongst him, two Rat Ogres, I've got some punch across the army in various
front lines. Punch is what you need, yeah.
And
because you've got plenty of support troops.
So what Jim had done is he'd brought up a brigade into a wood that my main centre brigade was moving past, and then he failed to get it to attack, which was lovely for me. I've got numbers, but I didn't, you know. Then I had to break up my main brigade. A chunk of it led, basically, Rat Ogres backed up, went into this wood to deal with. I did have a turn of fantastic orders. I actually ran out of things to order.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that? You know, and while my left engaged what it could have been, and had to tackle with an infiltrating brigade that he brought on the flank. So my infiltrators got attacked by his infiltrators.
Oh, I imagine that.
It's all quite random. But my gut runners, again, performed over well. I managed to...
How terrible are they, gut runners? No, just can't believe it. Yeah, like
with a shooting attack. He basically was trying, because it's playtesting, and I do like his movement trays. If my army, Skaven army, was more form of... I'm definitely going to do that. Movement trays are way forward.
Yeah.
He had a unit of Minotaurs out on their own. I managed to land two spells, attacky spells, on them in one go.
And two different ones?
Yeah, two different ones. Wow. Plague and Warp Lightning. Actually, my magic actually did something. It dropped a stand of these Minotaurs. I was like, my God.
Wow.
So, He had taken three chariots that tried to come around my right, and my right hand brigade then had to break up to deal with those chariots and attack it where I can and form up to receive. What was interesting in this game for me was also his spawn he used interestingly. Like I sent off a Doomwheel into the Bestigor brigade, and actually it was never going to win that fight, so I shouldn't have done that. But he managed to slow me down quite nicely with a spawn. That actually acted like a little steam tank for him. Like, it took charges and it stayed there quite easily. So I was like, maybe spawn have a place. You never know. I mean,
they're an interesting model.
They're definitely interesting. I mean, like, it might actually
have... They cause terror.
Yeah, they cause terror. It might actually have a spot. And, like, if you use it correctly, like, you're attacking in waves. Like, I come in, charge, and back off. And if I can make that spawn be the closest thing, that can take charges. Yeah, that's very good at taking charges, that spawn. It has a 3-up armor save.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I struggled with that. But Jim was close. Basically, after we played 7-8 rounds of, we were playing a lot of turns, all to time, all under the clock.
He likes to clock, Jim.
He wants to borrow clocks off me. Yeah, like, so I was like, I can get him to lend him Dave's one, the same as we use. But he has a different idea of how to finish it, like with clock systems. But like, yeah, he like, yeah, he wants to have clock, you know.
Yeah, he had a bad experience at one of his own events.
Yes, he did, yeah. lots of fighting happened, and Jim was down to 5 break, and it was actually, he was willing to concede there. And I was like, no, Jim, I think... If I know Skaven, it's hard to close out. So I was like, you should stay in this because I might not be able to close it out. You know, like, my army's getting a bit broken up now and casualties-wise. And I wasn't so much more break than him left. And it did get very tight at the end. Like, I finished the game in my turn getting him, and I only had a break and a half left.
Wow.
You know, so I would have 2.5 break with this extra unit I'm going to put into the list, you know, like drop a magic item.
It's often worth doing that to get it to an odd number.
Yeah, exactly. Because I have 28 units, 29 will make it 15. I really enjoyed it. It was a really tight game. He really enjoyed it as well. And yeah, that reaffirmed my love of Skaven, and that's what I'll take to Bunker War Master 4.
Excellent.
To what end, I don't know, because when I come up against that brigade of, like, the Bestigor brigade, well, that's a bit tasty. You know, like, the Chaos Warrior brigade will chop through my army. So, and I could drop more numbers by having more, like, Rat Ogres and stuff around, but that build still is enough. It's still enough troops.
Yeah.
Okay. With some punch.
Good, good. Right, so we'll put that to bed. What's the next one there on the list? I can't see.
So, events coming up in the future. Yep, yep, I'm going to speak about that. So, the next event I'm playing in is Bunker War Master 4 on the 1st of July. Buy a ticket, if you can, from 40k.
Yeah, do it.
To play. There is the event in Scotland happening on the weekend before.
The weekend. Jim and Alex are going.
Jim and Alex are going, and yeah, they're going away for 3 days, getting up there, and I'm really interested to hear how that event goes.
They've got some sponsorship, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, they do, yeah.
They do. From certain ogre miniature production company.
Yes.
So they're giving some ogres as prizes.
Fantastic.
So, no doubt Janus will have some ogres by the end of that. Knowing Janus.
Knowing Janus.
He should start his own shop. With prizes.
Well, we'll see. I mean... I don't know, yeah, like, I mean, it'd be really interesting to see how the tables are, how the event was run, etc. And then the other thing I have for you, Barry, is like, and it's on the 20th of August, so I met up with Steve to exchange some, and pick up some baby stuff, and because we'd split an eBay order we'd picked up.
What, Steve from up north?
Yeah, yeah, Steve, okay, Steve and Ian, you know, like, and that we met in St Albans, which was about halfway house between me and him, you know, and... We met at a location we're thinking of playing using as game a community centre, and yeah, we've booked a date. Like, I booked a date with it on the 20th of August. I don't know if you're going to be around.
That's a Sunday.
That is a Sunday. Yeah. We've managed to book the small hall of this community centre for 4 hours from 10 till 1:30.
Brilliant.
You know, and I know, and Jim's actually said he's free and stuff, so. Could be a date for your diary if you wanted to join us. It doesn't take long to get there. You know, it takes just
an hour and a quarter
around the M25 when there's no traffic. And yeah, the hall, and right next to this hall, it's in an industrial estate, but right next to it is a TFI Fridays and other places you can eat. So, like,
yeah, I'll stick it in the old diary.
Stick it in the diary if you want to come along.
So, yeah, that's good. So, 10 till about 1:30 or something?
1:30 is the hall's booked. Yeah, I'd take you. So you need to. We'd need to leave here at like 8:30, and we'd probably get. Well, obviously, we'd get lunch afterwards.
Yeah, be good.
So,
be good. Yeah.
But I mean, but that venue, like Steve, is worth travelling to play, and that venue is exactly halfway between mine and where he lives and where I live, and it's fine. It's easy. It's straight off the motorway.
Yeah, on a Sunday, it's pretty easy to get around.
Yeah, it's like it's really yeah. It's and I rang. I spoke to the lady like both the booking. All we need is a place with some tables, and that's it.
Excellent. Right.
So there's that, and just stuff about the committee where we're at the moment.
Okay. Well, there's not much running at the committee, and, yeah. And we've got a reasonable amount of recording already. Mm-hmm. And my in-laws are next door, so due to come in any minute. So we could leave the committee till next week.
Yeah.
Because the only thing I think that's happened is the goblins
it's
got
just
passed.
So now we're on 19 approved armies.
Goblins got passed.
Yep. And Chaos Warriors got their checkpoints changed passed, and it also includes your. Your iron, your...
Well, they're the same thing.
Yeah, iron, ogres, yeah, yeah.
What are they called?
Iron guts. Yeah, same thing.
I mean, it's still... There's still a big variance between them and Hull Skulls for the one extra... What do you get? One extra toughness.
Yeah.
But it's like... Well, it's 45 points at the moment. I think it'll go to 40.
Yeah, 40.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that where we're at?
That's 40. Where we're at, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But that's good. I mean, and we are... Tight sewing this all up, aren't we?
Yeah, there's lots of good chat on the Facebook group for the not the War Master podcast, but the War Master.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's open or closed, but
it's
if
open,
you,
I think.
I don't know. Mm. If you go there, you get lots of good chat. There was a guy recently questioning about all rock lovers and why they are so shit.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And the answer is they are shit, but they're better than nothing. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
And the problem isn't the rock lobbers, the problem's how cheap cannons are.
So,
because cannons are ridiculously cheap.
So in the future, cannons might get increased in points.
I don't know what you price them at, because they're
just
ridiculous.
It's hard,
they're ridiculously good compared to everything else in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
But for dwarves, they have to have cannons.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
without
cannons,
the army, though. Yeah.
Without cannons, what the fuck would dwarves be? They don't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are some things which are just, that is so that army... They have to have it, don't they? I mean, like, it's...
An empire without cannons would, again, be a strange proposition.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they do need to exist. Mm. But in no way does that kind of say...
It's like, cause like with an empire list, it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to take all knights, minimum infantry and all knights. It's like, or you can play high elves and do that better. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The infantry would be better and your knights would be better.
So when, he was asking, did the rules committee look at the cannons and stuff? And we have obviously looked at the rock lobbers, and they're getting like shooting blind, which is a bonus.
Yeah, yeah.
But on paper, one rock lobber is 75 points.
Yeah.
A pair of cannons is 85 yeah. points. It's just like, what do you want me to say?
Yeah.
They're not equal.
No, they're not.
They're not equal by any stretch. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And having access to any artillery is better than none. You look at Beastmen or Chaos.
Because if your army list only has one type of shooting infantry, you just cannot do...
It's not
effective, you cannot do an effective shooting army. You'll never get and stack enough hits to matter. It'll disrupt a few things.
Might get confused,
but you're not going to drop units. You know, just not happening. Yeah, you can never draw enough firepower.
Especially now that when you shoot into a brigade, potentially like causing different amounts of damage to different units, it's the owner of the brigade that chooses which order the drivebacks are done, not the person shooting.
Yeah.
Because that was pointed out. And too right it is.
Yeah.
So, shooting needs to be done en masse or not at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like just having an odd unit of archers ain't going to do anything.
Yeah. Exactly. It's interesting, but like you say, now that we have 19 armies finalised, it doesn't mean. And we're
down to four now.
Four now, and when this book comes out, it's not like that'll be valid until we do the book again. You know, it's like it.
Or maybe just like an annual errata.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like it's there until we bring out another version of it, and it's not saying we can't change anything.
Yeah,
you know, it's
not saying that things didn't get through. That maybe aren't balanced. But how do you deal with things like cannons? How do you deal with that problem?
It's tricky.
Because you can't look at them in isolation.
No. Yeah, it's difficult.
If you started giving them to other races, that would be a problem. It's like, oh, here, Mr. Chaos Dwarf, you have cannons. Like, No.
I've got a Chaos Dwarf army together.
No.
I guess play your game against
I think they're going to be pretty strong Chaos Dwarf.
Oh, yeah, I have to play you with them. They look cool.
Right, so we're going to play a game next week. We're going to do a battle report.
Yes.
We're going on YouTube.
Yes.
It's going to be...
You're using Empire.
Empire.
I'm either using Chaos or Orcs and Goblins.
I need to borrow 2 units of Knights and 1 Pistoliers. Everything else I've got
is all painted.
And one was finished. Mm-hmm. And you're using Empire. Are you using Chaos or...
I can do either of them because we wanted it to be another... We wanted it to be another core army. Yeah, like as one of the original 6.
I want some fluff, you lazy bastard. Just recycle the fluff from before. You've got to imagine when you come to this, because you have a tendency to ignore the fact that people might not want to go back and listen to 60 episodes.
Okay.
So they haven't heard the fluff bomb.
All right, okay.
They haven't seen the magic that is Paul's world. So we need some fluff, and we need to go through things in a bit more detail, just in case people haven't been there before.
Okay.
Especially when we do Orcsies. Orcsies is the best.
Yeah.
And the biggest and the greenest.
Yep.
Right, so yeah, that was Warmaster Podcast episode 62.
62.
On the day, or after the election, the day after tomorrow.
Well, this is the election.
Yeah, I guess so. And it was called Strong and Stable. I'm not feeling strong and stable. I'm feeling weak and wobbly. So. I need to get some more caffeine down me to get rid of this hangover.
Cool.
All right, so we'll be back next week. And that was Warmaster Podcast with Paul and Barry.
See you later.
All right, good night.